The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Happy Friday, everyone, and thank you for being here with us once again on Orange County Chamber Business Wise, powered by WTBQ. This is Barbara Martinez, Director of Communications for the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. And yes, it's another beautiful Friday here in the Village of Warwick. And I have a treat for you guys because I know that I've promised Crystal Run Healthcare a doctor every single month. And last month, something happened. We couldn't get a doctor on, and everybody was wondering, where's Crystal Run Healthcare? So we are back with the doctor for Crystal Run Healthcare. Just so you know, Crystal Run Healthcare is a diamond partner with the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. And one of the things that we started to do, I want to say almost 2 years, is have a doctor on every single month, a different doctor talking about their area of expertise. And hopefully you're out there listening and you might have questions. So feel free to call because we are live, 845-651-1110. And so I promised those that are on WTBQ listening that I would start doing Facebook Live on the show. I'm not doing it today because I didn't check with marketing from Crystal Run Healthcare if that was okay. So once I get the okay from them, then I will do Facebook Live whenever I have a Crystal Run Healthcare doctor. So guys, a couple things I want to put out. Let me introduce the doctor. Dr. Brian Kleinman. He's a
A gastroenterologist.
Gastroenterologist with Crystal Run Healthcare. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you. You were supposed to be on with me a couple months ago, but it's...
Yeah, it snowed, and I think we canceled beforehand because nobody could get anywhere that day.
Yeah, so. That's right. So this has been like an interview long time coming. So, and the thing is, I heard that the age for screening... colon cancer screening has been recently reduced.
Yeah, so since I prepared this months ago, there was actually a change, so we can definitely go over that today and let people know when they should be talking to their doctors about getting screened for colon cancer.
Great. Okay, so we're going to cover that, but first, I'm going to go over a couple of things that has happened with the Chamber of Commerce. I want to say thank you to everyone that attended the chamber breakfast that we had at the Woodbury Common Premium Outlet yesterday. It was very well attended. We had a great panel. The topic was why Orange County? These businesses could locate anywhere, and they decided to call Orange County their home. And on our panel, we had Dave Mistretta from Simon Premium Outlet. We had Stephen Newhouse, who's our Orange County executive. Heather Halley from Independent Helicopters. Bill Fioravanti, who is the Orange County Director of Economic Development. And we also had Phil Royal from Legoland, New York. This was moderated by Lynn Alencion, who's the President and CEO of the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. And I want to give a shout out to the eateries that provided the breakfast that morning. Le Pain Quotidien and Pret a Manger were there for us. It was an awesome breakfast. We posted a bunch of pictures on there. Everyone, we have gotten nothing but great reviews about the topic, and I promise we're going to try to do that again. We're also planning of maybe hosting another event at the Woodbury Common Premium Outlet. Everybody got swag bags, and they got a tour of the Woodbury Commons. There's a lot of changes that have been going on, and so I want to thank Woodbury Common for hosting us, DocuWare for sponsoring us, and again, for everyone coming out at 7:30 in the morning to hang out with us at Market Hall. So that was a great event. I also want to say thank you to everyone who showed up to the Orange County Arts Council mixer that we had at the Storm King Arts Center. That was yet another fabulous event. It was crowded. The music was great. The ambiance was beautiful. And it started to pour and nobody left. Everybody just kind of hung out under the tent because that's how awesome it was. And Lagrin's Irish Pub, they catered. So I think that's probably one of the reasons why nobody left, because the food is just awesome. So thank you so much for all those people that came out to support the Orange County Arts Council. And I want to give a special shout out to Gary Schuster, Jacobowitz and Gubitz, they were there. Bliss Co-op was there. Dana Anders, she's the owner of Bliss Co-op, was there supporting. I also saw Amy Sweetman from AgriSculpture. There were so many people. I couldn't name them all. Kristen Jensen was there. Krista Orsino was there. All kinds of wonderful people. So thank you for coming out and hanging out with us at the Mixer. Another thing that I want to mention is thank you so much for those that showed up to the ribbon cutting for Pizza Union in Route 300 in Newburgh. Again, that was a very well attended event. The event started at 4 o'clock, and before we even got to the point of 4 o'clock, the place was packed. It was a great ambiance. I got to listen to this group, three people, young lady and two young men. They're called The Naturals. They sing at Newburgh all the time, actually in Beacon all the time. They got invited to Newburgh. They apparently visit Pamela's on the Hudson every Thursday night to sing. They were awesome. So I'm going to be checking them out at Pamela's on the Hudson. But Pizza Union, congratulations on your ribbon cutting, and I know you're going to have a success. Again, this is another business that could have decided to go anywhere, and they chose Orange County, specifically Newburgh, New York. So good luck, and thank you for being a proud Orange County Chamber member. If you want to be a member of the Orange County Chamber of Commerce and you're not, I don't know why you aren't, but if you aren't, you can always contact our Director of Membership, Jillian Barrett, at Jillian B, Jillian with a G, JillianB@orangeny.com, or you can call the Chamber of Commerce at 845-294-1700, and Jillian Barrett will walk you through the membership process, and then we can set up all the events so that we can promote you and your upcoming events. I also want to let people know that another event that we have coming up, we have a multi-chamber mixer to benefit Museum Village. As you know, Museum Village is a 19th century village in the village of Monroe. Have you had a chance to go there, Doctor?
No,
it's like right across from where you practice.
I pass it all the time, but yeah. I have not been there.
You have to visit. It is an awesome place. They have great houses, and there's a broom maker, a blacksmith. There's a candle maker, just very turn of the century kind of thing. Very awesome. So there's going to be a multi-chamber mixer August 15th, 5:30 p.m. It's going to be $20 per chamber for the members to go in and $25 for non-members or at the door. Again, Museum Village is located at 1010 State Route 17M in Monroe. And also I want to invite you on August 16th from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. to BFY Brands. Did you know that Popcorners, have you heard of Popcorners?
Yeah.
They are located in Middletown, specifically the town of Walk Hill. They are going to be having a ribbon cutting and ceremony celebration. BFY Brands is located at 79 Industrial Place in Middletown. So again, August 16th, join us 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. to celebrate their ribbon cutting. And I'm being told we have a call. Thank you for calling. Your name and where you're calling from.
It's Mark from Middletown. Good afternoon, Barbara, and good afternoon, Dr. Kleiman.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I just had a question to ask about how often colonoscopies are done. And what's the difference between a colonoscopy and a sigmoidoscopy?
So that's a good question. So to answer the first part of your question, colonoscopy frequency depends on symptoms and also findings at your initial colonoscopy. So generally speaking, somebody who is average risk for colon cancer should start getting a colonoscopy around age 50, and the interval afterwards would depend on the findings. So somebody who has certain types of polyps that have a potential to progress to cancer need to come back sooner, anywhere between 3 and 5 years. Whereas someone with a normal colonoscopy the first time can wait up to 10 years in the absence of symptoms.
Now, right, that's the difference. And what is a capsule endoscopy?
Sure. So a capsule endoscopy is a little pill camera. It's about the size of probably a large vitamin pill that you can swallow and will take pictures throughout the course of the gastrointestinal tract.
Is one recommended over another? In other words, typically, is a sigmoidoscopy done over, say, is a colonoscopy done over a sigmoidoscopy or a capsule endoscopy, or does one
Sure.
weigh more? Is one more, let's say, more accurate than the other, or finds more?
Right. So just to explain, the sigmoidoscopy is basically a partial colonoscopy. So the sigmoid colon is towards the end of the colon. So during a sigmoidoscopy, we look at approximately 50 to 60 centimeters of the colon, whereas the colonoscopy looks at the entire colon, which can be several feet long. The capsule endoscopy was initially approved about 15 years ago for use in the small intestine, which is the area between the stomach and the colon that we are not able to easily access with the standard scopes that we use. And then more recently, within the past couple of years, there was a new capsule approved for colon cancer screening. It hasn't become very widespread yet, and I'm not sure that it's covered by a lot of insurances. The benefit of colonoscopy is that we can better visualize things because we're able to stop, take a closer look, clean an area, and look in different views, whereas the capsule endoscopy will just travel through the bowel and there's no way to go back and take another look or get a closer look at something. So it may ultimately catch on, but I don't think the technology is there yet for colon cancer screening, but it does have a lot of use in other parts of the gastrointestinal tract.
Okay, and we're going to... Mark, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but we have to go on to a break. So if you want to hold on, we'll come back to you. You're listening to Orange County Chamber Business Wise. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Pocono Raceway is summertime. It's where the whole family can come for the day or camp out for the weekend. It's where fans can shake hands with the most famous drivers on earth. It's where tailgating is serious business. It's where first-timers hang out with old-timers, and the racing is always a little tricky. Bring your friends, bring your family, just bring it. Pocono style. The ABC Supply 500, August 18th and 19th. Kids free on Saturday and half price on Sunday.
Scott Lask Wealth Management Group builds a lifetime of income for their clients. Scott has over 32 years of satisfied clients. Scott will help you create a retirement plan for life by customizing a secure future for you and your family that fits your lifestyle and income. Scott's worked with his clientele through every economic climate and highs and lows and has kept them on the path to achieving a secure plan with long-term principal growth. Contact Scott and start to plan a future for you and your family by visiting scottlask.com.
Join with the Warwick Valley Chamber of Commerce for their 24th annual Taste of Warwick. The top chefs of the Warwick Valley will be offering farm-to-table gourmet dining with elegant candlelit tables. Sample sumptuous cuisine, wine, spirits, and brews while you dine under the stars. Bring your appetite and quench your thirst at the Warwick Valley Winery and Distillery, 114 Little York Road, Monday, September 17th from 6 till 9 p.m. Rain date is Tuesday, September 18th. Buy your tickets before August 31st and pay only $50 per ticket. Buy online at the Chamber website, warwickcc.org. Beginning September 1st, tickets are $60 each and $65 at the door. Best to buy early. Buy for your family and friends and revel in an evening of pure delight for all your senses. Sponsorships are available. For more information, call the Warwick Valley Chamber of Commerce, 845-986-2720, or visit their website at warwickcc.org.
The Orange County Partnership is just that, a partnership between area developers, landowners, commercial real estate professionals, engineers, land use attorneys, construction services, and the Orange County Partnership. The mission is straightforward: to present a strong, unified voice for responsible, profitable development in Orange County. And Orange County has it all: buildings and land from large to small, urban to rural, in just the right location and with possible economic incentives. OCPartnership.org.
Clark Howard.
This is Clark Howard.
Almost half of all identity theft in the country is happening in medical facilities and doctor's offices. It's the fastest growing form of identity theft.
Clark Howard, weekdays from 1 till 3.
WTBQ.
And we're back, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on Orange County Chamber Business Wise, powered by WTBQ. This is Barbara Martinez, Director of Communications for the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. And so I guess the show's over because Mark just took over my show and decided to ask the questions that I was going to get to with the doctor. So since I know he's still holding on and he does ask awesome questions, I'm going to let Mark come back on. Mark, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. Dr. Kleinman, we were talking about sigmoidoscopies. Are polyps generally common with a sigmoidoscopy in a colon screening?
So we do find polyps during sigmoidoscopy, but we're finding that more and more frequently now we're finding polyps in the right side of the colon. And those can be sometimes more aggressive. So that's why if somebody can and is willing to get a full colonoscopy, it would definitely be recommended to have that done as opposed to a sigmoidoscopy. Now, if there's a reason they can't have a colonoscopy or we can only do a sigmoidoscopy, that would be better than nothing. But I would prefer to do a colonoscopy if we can, because we can see the complete picture rather than just part of the colon.
And how often are they recommended generally?
The sigmoidoscopy would be recommended then every 5 years, and sometimes can be done in conjunction with stool-based testing that looks for traces of blood in the stool.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mark, so much for those awesome questions. And now I'm going to just take over my show, please.
Okay.
All right. You have a nice weekend. Okay.
Take care. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. So I want to remind everyone, we are live. You just experienced that. You can call us at 845-651-1110. I am hanging out with Dr. Brian Kleinman. He is with Crystal Run Healthcare. And we just dove right into the topic because, of course, Mark started the conversation. But before we get to that point, please tell us, how long have you been with Crystal Run Healthcare? Where are you located?
So I've been with Crystal Run Healthcare for about 14 months now. I work in the Middletown, Monroe, and Newburgh offices, and we do procedures like colonoscopy out of Middletown and Newburgh.
So did you always, did you say to yourself you always wanted to be a gastroenterologist?
I think I knew pretty early on in medical school, just because of the combination of seeing patients in the office and being able to do procedures, it's definitely makes things very exciting and makes the days interesting.
Okay. So I know that, Mark asked some really good questions. One of the things that I mentioned earlier in the conversation was that recently there has been a change and they lowered the age.
Right. So we looked to several different societies that helped to provide us with guidance for how to practice. And the ones that generally issue these recommendations, the American Cancer Society, there's the U.S. Preventive Service Task Force, and then there's our GI societies, of which there are three. And the previously, all three societies, as well as the other ones, non-GI, agreed that people should start getting colon cancer screening around age 50. Now, there was one of the GI societies that did recommend earlier screening for African-American patients because of an increased risk. So the American College of Gastroenterology previously had said in their guidelines that African-American patients should consider colonoscopy at age 45. Mm-hmm. Recently, the American Cancer Society came out saying to consider screening for all patients at the age of 45 because of an increased risk in colon cancer and advanced polyps that we found in younger patients anywhere, in their 30s to early 40s. Mm-hmm. The rest of the societies have not endorsed that recommendation yet, but I think it's definitely something that's going to be investigated further with more research, because if we can do colonoscopies earlier, and catch things earlier or potentially prevent this from happening at all, then there's definitely a benefit to it.
So let me ask you, when we're waiting for that kind of everyone jumping on and agreeing that that's necessary, that is important because that helps with insurance.
Right. And I think ultimately that's probably another barrier is, are insurers going to cover colonoscopy earlier, or are they going to want people to have a different test that may be less invasive done earlier, but we need insurers to jump onto the train with that, because otherwise it's going to be hard for patients to get this done.
So it actually, you have to have like the different societies all kind of line up in order for it to become the norm?
Yeah, usually what the insurances want is there's some, clear-cut evidence, and I think they've felt that the evidence is not, convincing enough yet, and future studies are going to be needed, which are ongoing now, and hopefully soon the rest of the societies will agree, and then we can really see some change happen with this.
So the studies or the screenings that are being recommended, is it for both, is male and female, or is there a different in age? Is there different things that you should expect when it comes to male and females?
Sure. So the screenings in terms of colon cancer are the same for men and women. So somebody who's average risk, meaning there's not a family history of colon cancer, or a different genetic syndrome that may increase the risk, should start screening at age 50. And the screenings, as we touched on a little bit already, there's several different options. So colonoscopy is probably what we'd consider the gold standard. It's the best test because it allows us to directly visualize the colon, and also treat anything that we find during that procedure.
Okay, so when you're doing a colonoscopy, I'd like to go into different steps. So when you're doing a colonoscopy, what does that entail? Let's just say someone, he's just turned 50 and he's been told by his general practitioner, you know, I recommend that you go for a colonoscopy. And so what does should that person expect?
Sure. So usually if the primary care doctor is recommending it, that patient would then come see us in the office to have a more in-depth discussion about it. That would be the first step. Mm-hmm. Then once we get it set up, there is a preparation that's involved, which is the part that a lot of people maybe have heard about from friends or family members that I think scares some people off from mm-hmm. having this done. So the preparation for the colonoscopy generally starts the day before, and we recommend that people be on a clear liquid diet for the entire day. That makes the preparation easier because...
Like vodka?
Correct. So, okay. You know, so any clear liquid.
Any clear liquid, okay.
And that is important because in colonoscopy, we want to be able to see the entire colon. So we need the colon cleaned out.
Okay.
So that's the first part of the preparation. The second part of the preparation is that later in the day, a laxative solution is drank to sort of clean out the remaining stool from the colon to allow us to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that's not always the best tasting, and it's a lot of stuff, fluid to drink at once, and so sometimes people are a little scared off by that, but most people who go through it say it wasn't as bad as they thought it was going to be, and it, you know, ultimately it's worth doing this once or a few times over your lifetime to prevent, you know, potentially prevent a development of colon cancer.
Would you say that most people that actually have gone through it would say that that first preparation part is the worst part versus the actual colonoscopy?
Yeah, usually I tell patients that by the time they come in the following morning for the procedure, the worst part's over and the rest for them is easy. Mm-hmm. So after the prep the night before, the patients will come in to one of our endoscopy centers. The procedure is done as an outpatient, so you come in the morning, you go home the same day. We work with anesthesiologists to adequately sedate patients for the procedure so that it's comfortable. In some circumstances, it can be done without sedation. That's a patient and doctor preference. Mm-hmm. But generally, people do receive some IV sedation, very safe, and you're monitored throughout the procedure. The test is then done. It takes about a half an hour or so okay. to do the actual procedure. And the timing can depend on whether we encounter any polyps during the colonoscopy that need to be removed. That may add a few extra minutes to the test.
So if you do, let's say you do encounter polyps, what do you do at that point?
So polyps are small growths that sort of protrusions from the lining of the colon. We can't tell by looking at them whether they're going to be a benign type of polyp, meaning mm-hmm. it has no cancerous potential, which is something called a hyperplastic polyp, or a polyp called an adenoma, which is one that has some potential to progress to cancer if untreated.
Okay.
So we'll take any polyps out that we find, and that involves, depending on the size of the polyp, using a small biopsy or a little sort of tweezers type instrument to remove the polyp, mm-hmm. or a different type of instrument called a snare. That's all done during the colonoscopy. There's no cutting externally. There's no scars afterwards, and there's no pain or discomfort afterwards that would be increased if you have a polyp removed or not.
Well, let's just say that the person decided to go with not being sedated, and while you're doing the discovery, you find that there is polyps. Is that something that they're going to feel, or are you going to recommend that they get at that point sedated or kind of anesthesia?
The lining of the colon doesn't really have a lot of nerve fiber, so if we take a biopsy or remove a polyp while someone's awake, generally, it's not felt.
Okay.
So we can do it, as long as they're able to tolerate the procedure itself and able to, you know, remain relatively still and be comfortable during it.
What would you say would be the cause of polyps?
So polyps are growths that happen usually due to a sort of a problem with checks and balances in the cells. So the cells, the DNA in the cells starts to change, the cells start to grow and divide at a more rapid pace, and then develop into a polyp. Mm-hmm. And then once you have a polyp, that will grow, we think, over a period of 7 to 10 years to progress from a small polyp to a cancer. Mm-hmm. Most of the polyps we encounter during routine colonoscopy are only a couple of millimeters, you know, typically less than 6 or 7 millimeters in size. Mm-hmm. But if they grow at a rate of 4 or 5 millimeters a year, you could see that by 10 years later, you're talking about a large tumor that could have potentially been removed when it was a much smaller polyp.
What do they look like visually? Do they look like maybe like a stick-in tag?
Like a pimple or a, you know, okay, a little protrusion or bump in the lining of the colon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can see sort of a different lining covering them that looks different from the surrounding normal tissue.
And most people, do they feel, I mean, people can't tell if they have polyps?
Correct. Oftentimes asymptomatic unless they're very large, mm-hmm, or in particular locations where they might cause problems with somebody going to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Generally, polyps are asymptomatic.
Okay. Well, we're going to go into the different other options that you had mentioned. We're going to take a little break. When we get back, we're going to continue with the doctor. You're listening to Orange County Chamber Business Wise. Stay with us.
The Orange County Fair Speedway in Middletown invites you to the House of Power Saturday night, August 11th, for Law Enforcement Night. Come and enjoy the Speedway's newly renovated grandstands. Have a drink with fellow race fans at the 31st Lap Tavern. There's a new track surface, raising the excitement with the big and small block modifiers, sportsmen and street stock, dirt bikes, quads. Join us Saturday at the Speedway in Middletown. Check out their schedule at WTBQ.com or visit their Facebook page at OCFS Racing. AJ Ross Creative Media is the premier marketing, advertising agency, web design, and social media company in the Hudson Valley. AJ Ross connects their clients with prospective customers by generating powerful marketing and advertising concepts. Meet with the AJ Ross team and you'll walk away with a new and innovative approach that'll bring your company to the next level. Contact the AJ Ross team and set up a free consultation and get started with the best. Visit ajross.com.
Safe Homes of Orange County's mission is to work towards the elimination of intimate partner violence and human trafficking by providing comprehensive support services to victims and their children, and by increasing public awareness about these issues and encouraging accountability for perpetrators. You can improve your community by joining their cause. Just a little bit of your time will make an amazing difference to the lives of so many. To learn more and get involved, visit safehomesorangecounty.org.
Win two tickets valued at $1,000 to Pocono Raceway. Witness the spectacular Indy Race, August 18th and 19th, with drivers hitting speeds over 240 miles per hour. Win two Skybox tickets, including food and drinks in a private glass suite high above the Tricky Triangle. Email 100 words or less about why going to this race means so much. Deadline is Saturday, August 11th. The winners will be announced Monday, August 13th, during the morning show. Email your entry to Taylor at WTBQ.com.
50 years of racing here at Michigan International Speedway.
The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series.
215 miles an hour.
With only four races left to qualify for the playoffs.
Brad Keselowski.
Kurt Busch by inches.
Here comes Ryan Blaney.
Some of NASCAR's biggest stars are hustling to stay in contention.
And Kyle Larson pedaling as hard as they can.
The Consumers Energy 400 at Michigan, Sunday at 1:30 on the Motor Racing Network.
Brought to you every week by Vogel & Moore Insurance and Dawson Motors.
WTBQ Weather.
Sunshine will mix with more clouds this afternoon. We could see an isolated thunder shower as we head towards evening. Highs in the mid-80s. Now for tonight, mostly cloudy, some showers and storms becoming more numerous as we head towards morning in the mid to upper 60s. It's in the 70s for Saturday and we'll have periods of showers and storms with heavy downpours. And on Sunday, it remains unsettled in the low 80s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm WeatherWorks meteorologist Mike Mahalik.
WTBQ.
We're back, everyone. Oh, I like that song, Dan. You're listening to Orange County Chamber Business Wise, powered by WTVQ. Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. And like I promised, Chris will run healthcare. Every single month, we're going to try to bring a different doctor, talk about important topics about your health, because Chris will run is here to keep you healthy. I have Dr. Brian Kleinman with me. He's a gastroenterologist, and we have been talking about colon cancer screening and just getting your colon screened, getting tested, and the importance of having that done. I think a lot of times, doctor, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's a stigma behind doing that. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to bring up the topic of getting your colon checked.
Absolutely. A lot of people end up coming in to talk about it because they've been referred by their primary care doctor, but they're very hesitant at first to talk about it. And once they hear about it, and certainly once they do it, I think they often realize they were, you know, more worried than they needed to be.
Once somebody has their very first screening, and you find that everything's working as it should be and they're fine, when would be the follow-up?
So if somebody has a normal colonoscopy, meaning there were no polyps and the preparation was good, that we were able to see the lining of the colon very well, they can wait 10 years for their next colonoscopy, unless any symptoms develop that would warrant them to have a sooner colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. Somebody that has a few small polyps that are the type that are adenomas, meaning they're precancerous, needs to come back for another colonoscopy in 5 years. And then somebody with larger polyps or multiple, more than three polyps, comes back in 3 years.
Okay. All right. That's good information to know, you know, for those that are wondering how to prepare for something like this.
Right. It's not something that you're going to be doing on a yearly basis. Mm-hmm. You know, there are rare circumstances where people need to come back more frequently, but the average person is not seeing us on a regular basis just for their routine colonoscopy. Mm-hmm.
I want to remind everyone that we are live, so if you have a question for the doctor, 845-651-1110. You can listen to us on 93.5 FM, 1110 AM, and you can stream us worldwide at WTBQ.com, radio worth listening to. So, doctor, we were covering colonoscopy. What is the other option?
So there are several options if somebody can't or doesn't want to have a colonoscopy. Sigmoidoscopy was the sort of precursor to a colonoscopy. So that's still a procedure. It still involves a preparation, and in some cases involves sedation, although it's a little easier to do awake. But that only looks at part of the colon, so it's not giving us the whole story or telling us the whole, you know, picture. And I think if you're willing to do that, oftentimes it's probably better to just do the complete colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. In terms of non-invasive testing, there are different stool-based tests. The older test was a test that looked for traces of blood in the stool. Mm-hmm. And so that's still an option. It's called a FIT test or fecal immunochemical test. And that's something that can really be done either through a gastroenterologist or even by a primary care doctor. And that just requires the patient to provide a stool sample.
Okay.
That test, though, if positive, then needs to be investigated with a colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. And that test gets repeated on a yearly basis if it's negative. One of the newer tests that you may see advertised on TV is something called Cologuard. And that is a stool-based test also that involves both the part of the test looking for traces of blood, but also another more in-depth test looking for DNA changes in the stool that may indicate a polyp or a cancer. That test is done through an outside laboratory called Exact Sciences. Mm-hmm. And that test, if negative, gets repeated every 3 years.
How does someone go about doing that? Is it, again, just taking a sample, putting it in a tube and sending it out?
Correct. So in that one, the company actually sends a kit to the patient's house where they give you instructions and then you send it back to them and then your doctor would get the results after you send it back.
Is it something that is requested through the doctor, or let's say someone was to Google Cologuard and say, I'm going to check this out?
That one, we send a request based on the patient's behalf to the company. Mm-hmm. And then insurance coverage then has to get verified also because it is not, you know, it's not universally covered. So it needs to be verified by the patients before doing that test as well.
When they do the what was the name of the other one? The
Sigmoidoscopy.
Sigmoidoscopy. Is that the one with the camera?
Yeah, so that's that's a similar scope. It's just a smaller scope.
Okay.
The other test that the caller Mark had mentioned was a capsule endoscopy.
Okay.
And that is a little pill camera. Now, that was initially used more to look at the small intestine for different disorders that we investigate in the small intestine, but it was recently approved for colon cancer screening, although it's not become a widespread use yet for that specific indication. Because if somebody has a capsule and then they find something, it still requires them to get a colonoscopy. So it's multiple steps and multiple procedures rather than just having one thing done.
And that's why Mark was asking whether you recommend one over the other.
Right. I tell patients, I go over all the options with them, but I think if they can get a colonoscopy, that definitely is their best option.
Mm-hmm. What other options or what else can a patient that comes in to get the screening expect?
So in terms of the procedure itself, after the procedure, they can expect sometimes slight abdominal discomfort or a little sensation of bloating, like you need to pass gas. Generally, that subsides over a few minutes. After the procedure, you may be groggy for a few minutes to an hour or so. Once you're awake, your doctor usually will go over the results of the procedure with you, and then you're able to go home that day. You can eat and drink normally afterwards, but we do always advise people to sort of take it easy that day because of the unknown effects of sedation afterwards. And it is important to know that generally we do require somebody be with you to get you home afterwards.
So if you're just signing on and you're listening, you know, now with Dr. Kleinman from Crystal One Healthcare, gastroenterologist, we had mentioned earlier in the segment of the show how the age requirements, they're kind of leaning towards reducing that. So once again, let's just cover that.
So there's some thought process that of decreasing the age from 50 to 45 because of an increased risk that we're seeing in younger patients. That hasn't completely caught on yet with all of our different societies that recommend colonoscopies, but I think it's something to talk about with your doctor. I think the other thing that needs to be thought of is if you have symptoms, that's also a reason to get a colonoscopy sooner. So when we talk about screening, we're talking about people that are not having any symptoms, that feel fine, that are generally healthy. But if you're having symptoms and you're in your 40s or 30s, those are things that you need to talk to your doctor about, because that would then require a colonoscopy as
well.
So
what kind of symptoms are we talking? Like, what should people, you know, your body is a beautiful machine, and it like much like a computer, it'll tell you when something's not right.
Right. So any change in bowel. So if you're having, you know, always were normal and then you're having loose stools or difficult time going to the bathroom, if you're noticing blood in the stool or dark black stool, which can indicate bleeding also. Unexplained abdominal pain, loss of appetite, weight loss, all things that really should be mentioned and discussed with your doctor, because they need to be evaluated possibly with colonoscopy or other testing.
Mm-hmm. How often do you find that people ignore those symptoms?
I think frequently people ignore it because they're sometimes embarrassed about talking about these things. These are very, you know, intimate details of your life that you may not be used to talking to somebody about. So I think sometimes it does go months or even years before somebody will bring this to their doctor's attention. But I think people need to understand that this is what we do every day. These are the conversations that we're used to having. And if you are having these types of symptoms or other things that are concerning to you, it's important to bring to someone's attention.
The kind of colon cancer, for example, that's one that's treatable. You can survive that cancer.
Right. So with colonoscopy, if we can find it early, then it's treatable with surgery oftentimes. Mm-hmm. And you know, depending on the invasiveness or the, you know, whether they're spread, sometimes other treatments, chemotherapy, radiation. But colonoscopy at least allows us to catch things early and hopefully treat someone with the least invasive approach.
Mm-hmm. And this is, like we mentioned before, recommended for both men and women. It should be just part of, when you get to that age, when you do it, it should be part of like, okay, this year I turned, you know, 45 and I'm going to go for my regular checkup and I'm going to talk to the doctor about scheduling me for a colonoscopy.
Right. When you go in for your annual exams and people are talking about mammograms and pap smears and screening for, you know, high cholesterol or diabetes, this should be part of that conversation that comes up on an annual basis.
Do you find that doctors are now, especially like the general practitioners, are making it part of the conversation? Or is that something that it's also a movement towards awareness and education?
I think they're doing a good job. Certainly within our practice, the primary care doctors are talking to patients, and we're seeing a lot of those patients come to us to talk about colonoscopies or other screening options if they want to. But we're definitely hopefully getting to more patients, you know, every day.
That, you know, and it's great to increase the awareness and the education and maybe even remove some of the fears that people have about getting the procedures done and done early, because the stigma is still there. And I think the more people learn about it and how this type of cancer can be treated, prevented, more people will be apt to doing it.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people feel at ease even just talking about it or hearing a little more about it, because it's such an unknown to most people who haven't had it themselves or seen someone close to them have it. Mm-hmm. So
I think the more that we talk about it, like a regular conversation, just like they talk about breast self-exams and mammograms. It used to be nobody would talk about it, but now you hear people talk about it all the time.
Absolutely. And there's an awareness month in March where with a colon cancer awareness month. So that's a whole month that brings it to the forefront. And hopefully during that time and all other times, people are talking about it more.
That's a great information. And I know Crystal Run Healthcare has a great website that you guys can maneuver through and find out more information.
Yeah, there's definitely information on our website about the procedures that we offer, as well as the preps and you know which doctors do them and where they do them. So you can look there and get a lot of information.
Okay. We're going to take a little break. When we get back, we're going to continue talking to Dr. Klein, and stay with us.
Pocono Raceway is summertime. It's where the whole family can come for the day or camp out for the weekend. It's where fans can shake hands with the most famous drivers on earth. It's where tailgating is serious business. It's where first-timers hang out with old-timers, and the racing's always a little tricky. Bring your friends, bring your family, just bring it. Pocono style. The ABC Supply 500, August 18th and 19th. Weekend camping packages start at just $150.
Hey, it's John Tesh. When you go to Leo Cadis Ford, you can always count on their staff to listen to your wants and needs and deliver you an automobile, SUV, or truck at the most competitive price. Leo Cadis Ford delivers it all. You'll walk in a customer, but you'll definitely leave a member of the Leo Cadis Ford family. With almost 40 years in one location and three generations buying and selling at Leo Cadis Ford, that's how you define success. Your one stop for new and used cars and A1 service. Get the Works package for only $39.95, which includes up to 5 quarts of oil, and they will change your oil, rotate your tires, top off all fluids, and a free car wash. Hello! They will have you in the driver's seat with financing in place and will service your automobile, all at one showroom in Warwick, New York. Leo Cadis Ford, 145 Route 94. What are you waiting for? Call Leo Cadis Ford at 845-986-1131 or visit their website at leocadisford.com. Quality you can trust.
This is Susan Glusica. Are you making good money, but you still feel like you're barely making ends meet? Studies show that most Americans are in debt and spending over 100% of their income, and with no plans in place for college savings or retirement. Start by requesting a copy of our guide, 3 Steps to Financial Harmony, at labelleprosperitysolutions.com. This complimentary guide will help you get started on the path to financial control and security without sacrificing your lifestyle. I am a financial representative of the Guardian Life Insurance Company of America.
Hi, this is Suzanne Dermody, an associate broker at Better Homes and Gardens Rand Realty in the Goshen office. Whether you are a first-time buyer or relocating or a seller, rest assured your journey will be a memorable learning experience. For more information, please visit my website at suzanne.dermody.randrealty.com. suzanne.dermigny.randrealty.com.
You're just trying to be better. We're just trying to help. The John Tesh Radio Show.
Monday through Saturday, starting at 3 p.m.
Tesh.com.
After a long day, we're here to keep you company with great soft rock and interesting information you can use on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ.
Hi, everybody, and we're back. Thank you for staying with us here on Orange County Chamber Business Wise, powered by WTVQ. This is Barbara Martinez, Director of Communications for the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. I want to thank you all for hanging out with me today and Dr. Kleinman talking about, that's right, we talked about it, colon screening and how you can take care of your health by just adding this to part of your routine when you go see the doctor. You don't have to do it every single year like us women have to go for our regular checkup every year. This is something that you do it once, and if everything goes well, you don't have to do it for another 10 years. And if there might be some things that you want to, you know, have to check and follow up, maybe 5 years. But it's important to make sure that we remove the stigma behind getting your colon your colon screened. We talked about symptoms, but there are things that you can do maybe even with your diet to prevent polyps from forming.
Yeah, so there's some thoughts about a few different things. There's, none of this is concrete, but certainly things that we think may increase the risk in people include obesity, possibly diabetes, people who eat more red or processed meats, smoking and alcohol all may play some small role. Mm-hmm. It's not clear how big of a role, but the more we can do to try to live an overall healthy lifestyle, eat a healthy, balanced diet may help. Some of the things that may be a little protective are increased physical activity, eating a diet that's high in fresh fruits and vegetables, high fiber may help a little bit. Coffee may have some protective effects in different aspects of health. And taking medications like aspirin or NSAID medications like Advil and Aleve and Motrin may have some protective role, although not enough where we can recommend taking it. These are all things that are being investigated further, because if we have something that people could take to prevent this or decrease the risk of this, certainly that would be very exciting.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we had mentioned in the prior segment was the importance of removing that fear of talking about it and increasing the awareness and saying, this isn't something that you should be embarrassed about. This is very important. And if, God forbid, you may have the chance of developing cancer from this, or if it runs in your family, it doesn't hurt to just get it done.
Right. That's another important thing we didn't touch that much on, is a family history. So it's very important to know who in your family, we typically consider first degree relatives, so a sibling, a parent, or a child, who has had any conditions, but in our case, we're worried about any polyps or colon cancers, because that needs to increase the surveillance for that patient. So if you've had a family member with colon cancer, or in some cases, large or advanced polyps, then you need to start at a younger age. So rather than starting at 50, those patients would start at age 40, or if the person was diagnosed at a very young age, maybe even earlier. So it's very important that families talk about this and be open about it so that they can help each other to potentially prevent this from happening too.
Do you find that in terms of the age, do you find that the younger generation is less likely to talk about it? Or do you find that people are becoming more savvy and are starting to ask?
I think people are starting to ask more as they hear more about these things. I think they're learning more about their histories. But if you're not, or you haven't asked, don't be ashamed or don't be embarrassed. Ask about it and make sure you're aware of their history, not just for colon cancer, but for any cancers, because it may alter how your doctor wants to treat you. And it's important to get that done as early as possible.
And the reality is, you signed up to do this. This is your job. You're not going to look and say that you're going to have a problem with someone coming to see you. I mean,
of course,
this is what you do.
The worst thing that happens is we talk about it and we say, you're not due yet. You may be due in a couple of years. And at least then you've learned about it. You feel more comfortable with it. And you know when you need to get things done or what you can do to keep yourself more healthy.
And again, this is applicable to men and women.
Absolutely.
So both should be thinking and planning on getting this done. I mean, a phone call to your doctor or even to your insurance carrier to see if that's something that they would cover for you, so that you can put that as part of your lineup of getting your wellness checked.
Right. Everybody should keep it in mind, no matter your ethnicity, your gender. It's important that everybody get it done.
Do you find that there might be, you mentioned some red meats, things that people maybe... You said fibers, things that people should eat to probably help the general gastrointestinal, work the way it should.
Definitely, a lot of high fiber diet or lots of fresh fruits and vegetables is beneficial to the gut. Some of the other things that are out there, like probiotics, which are sort of healthy or good bacteria that are normally found within the gut, are sometimes used as a supplement to help people with gut-related symptoms and are available, over-the-counter at the pharmacy. So if you have other gut-related symptoms, it may be something to ask your doctor about as well, whether mm-hmm. you would benefit from taking those.
There are some people that find that they have to take things like Miralax every single day because that's something that they need. Do you find that that's normal, or should they go... get checked?
It's it's something worth talking to your doctor about, mm-hmm. because, you know, there are other treatable conditions that may need to be addressed that would make that person not have to take that medication, or there may be a problem in the colon that needs to be looked at too. Mm-hmm.
That's good to know. I mean, because I know there are some people that they kind of depend on the over-the-counter laxatives.
We see so many things over the counter, especially in GI, whether it's laxatives or antacids, and they're all good to be used on a short-term basis, but I think when you're taking them regularly, you know, for extended periods of time, it's definitely important to talk to your doctor about it, because some medications may have side effects if used for too long, or there may be other things, other testing that should be completed to understand why you need to take that medication on a regular basis.
So if there's any message that you want to make sure you get out to, did you mention something about hepatitis C?
The one thing I wanted to mention about hepatitis C quickly is there is a recommendation from the CDC several years ago that patients who were born between 1945 and 1965, the baby boomers, should be screened one time for hepatitis C, because it was a virus that we didn't know about until the late 80s, and it was more commonly transmitted. And the treatments have changed over the last few years. We have all oral regimens that are very, very effective if taken for a short period of time, which was a big change. So untreated hepatitis C can lead to complications in the liver, and it's very easy to treat now. So if you haven't talked with your doctor about it, it may be something that you want to bring up the next time you see them as well.
That's a good bit of information. So like I was saying before, if there's anything, you know, throughout this entire conversation that you want to stress to those people that are listening as a gastroenterologist, what advice are you giving out there?
You know, don't be embarrassed if you're having chronic symptoms that are bothersome to you or that you're needing to take medications for. Talk to someone about it. There's plenty of gastroenterologists in the area who are happy to see you and talk about your symptoms and do an appropriate evaluation to diagnose what's going on and help get you feeling better and hopefully not needing to take medications on a regular basis. And also doing the routine screening so that we can help prevent the development of colon cancer or other types of cancers and keep you healthy and living for a long time.
That's great information. And let me tell you, there are people out there that sometimes walk around daily with, upset stomach, or their gut's bothering them, or something's not sitting right, and they're dealing with this, you know, popping antacids or whatever, instead of just really addressing that they might have an issue.
Right. We see so many people that say they've had these issues for their whole life, and, you know, don't sit home and deal with it. Come talk to us and hopefully we can help.
Mm-hmm. So if they wanted to reach you, doctor, I know you said you were in Monroe and Middletown. How, you know, I know that Crystal Run Healthcare has a website.
So there's Facebook. A website. There, we're available on social media. The website has all the phone numbers and different office locations. People can also book appointments through the ZocDoc app. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of our providers are on there as well, which is an easy way for especially younger people who are, you know, on their phones can easily book an appointment through the app that way also.
So ChristopherRunHealthcare.com is the website. They're all over. If you want to learn more about them, go onto their website. It's very user-friendly. I recently had Dr. Corey on, and she was talking about the calling system and everything that they're doing to improve patient care. It is patient-centered with Crystal Run Healthcare. I want to thank them for being a diamond partner with the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. I just want to put something out real quick. We are having a blood drive at the Chamber of Commerce. That's going to be on August 21st. It's a Tuesday from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. We're doing it at the Chamber of Commerce located at 40 Matthews Street in Goshen. Doctor, thank you so much for hanging out with me here today. Hopefully, we got a lot of people informed, and maybe you'll get an influx of patients coming in and asking the right questions.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much for having me, and if you need us, come see us.
So do you want to say hi to somebody before you go? She's
listening. My wife Arielle is still listening, and Asher might be napping, but hi guys.
He did very well. Now, see, this is easier than a colonoscopy, isn't it?
Yes, this was much easier than I thought it would be.
Thank you everyone for hanging out with us here on Orange County Chamber Business Wise, powered by WTBQ Radio, worth listening to. Have a nice weekend, and we will see you next Friday once again, where we'll be talking about everything that's involved Orange County with Orange County Chamber Business.